Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
LA may love it. Adam Silver may love it. NBA fans may crave it. Whether you love or hate the Lakers, they have now become relevant again. They are experiencing this jolt in their Q rating. Now we'll see how it translates on the basketball court, but Magic Johnson isn't done. He landed the first big free agent, and this is a catalyst, a springboard for the next couple of years at Staples Center. Showtime, is it back? You know what is not showtime, at least right now, is the Cleveland Cavaliers. There's this emptiness. The buzz is not there. Now that LeBron has made his decision, what happens next on the shores of Lake Erie with the team that went to four straight NBA finals? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Remind me to tell you what I heard on my way home from work on Thursday morning that made me laugh out loud. I will do that. I was listening to the radio, and I will do that, I promise. But we have been thinking about that void in Cleveland and wondering, how are sports fans doing now that LeBron has made his decision? It's been a few days. The dust has settled. Time to check in with Nick Wilson of 92.3 The Fan, our affiliate on the shores of Lake Erie. Just finished up his show a couple hours ago that he does nights Eastern time. And Nick, we're happy to have you. What has this week been like since we found out LeBron would be departing Cleveland and heading to Southern California?
Oh, it was the slow requiem that started out, and it had little bursts of rage or pockets of emotions from Cleveland fans. But you know what? I got to say, I really, 2014 was different because he was coming back. But when you compare it up against 2010, in 2010, that week after LeBron left was like just a four-alarm fire all week of just angry fans and like four people saying, you know, guys, you know, he's still a Northeast Ohio kid. He's still this. And then those people getting eviscerated all over, Northeast Ohio. So I think now I feel like the ratio's kind of flipped. So I keep talking about the five stages of grieving. I do think that Cleveland fans have come to acceptance a heck of a lot more gentler than they did some 8 years ago. And I think now people are genuinely interested to see what path does LeBron's legacy finish on, and what path do the Cavaliers go down from now on too?
Why is it easier this time?
You won a title. That's one way. And I also think he did it right this way. Not only was it the four straight finals and winning one of them, the first title in 52 years, that whole sonnet I can recite, but I do think the fact that it seems like he went out of his way to kind of soften the blow. There wasn't, you know, there wasn't anything even kind of getting to his I'm coming home letter, let alone the decision in 2010. And I also think the way he framed it, you know, LeBron talked about what's best for me and my family, what's most, where's my family going to be the happiest. Listen, if you want to go ahead and pander to the heartland, that's the way you get them, is by mentioning family. So I think it's some combination of all that.
How much do you buy into this being, foregone conclusion may be strong, but there were a lot of people who expected this outcome. So how much do you buy into this wasn't a really difficult decision for him, at least not this past week? He had kind of made up his mind that he was ready to go do something else.
Yeah, I remember last offseason talking about this offseason and what it meant, and I had felt that I had felt like the decline of the Cavs organization last offseason, I felt like that was going to push LeBron out. And throughout the season, I'll be honest, I wavered on it because I didn't want him to leave, because who would want to stop watching the best player on the planet? But I think, you know, as much as it disturbed me that nobody gave the Cavs a chance, the reality is the Cavs didn't give themselves a chance. From the moment they traded Kyrie Irving and they prioritized a first-round draft pick being unprotected over guys that could help you compete for a title, even into the deadline, where what was the move that they made? They helped the Lakers clear up cap space, knowing that the Lakers were going to go after LeBron James. Like, it's almost like with the Kyrie trade, they kind of you know, kicked him to get him, you know, going down the slide out the door, and then with that deadline deal that took on the Jordan Clarkson contract, it's like they greased the chute for him. And so, as much as leading up to it, that fatalism from the national media could be frustrating, because I think everybody wanted him to stay, I think we all kind of understood the score, and that for LeBron to stay, it was going to take as magnanimous of an act as what he did in 2014, when he basically, he didn't forgive the letter, but he ignored Dan Gilbert's Comic Sans nom de plume of, well, I mean, just horrendousness from 4 years earlier. It would have taken that similar thing of where the Cavaliers really bailed on winning championships this last year, or at least giving this team the best shot to win a championship, and they did it in the favor of covering their own rear ends in case LeBron left. And just didn't see that happening this time. So, yeah, I mean, I think there was always optimism just because you hope against hope. But, no, it felt like it was time. And by the way, it also made sense. Like, if LeBron, if the Cavs had done what they did in the last offseason, which is change what the established pattern since LeBron had come here, which was every year they did everything they could to compete for a title. And then last offseason, they prioritized the future. You know, that's the Cavs changing that game. If LeBron had bought in for another year and then gone maybe in 2019, I think in some ways, from an optic standpoint, people would have said, well, he bought into it. You know, he bought into prioritizing the future. Why would he leave now? There are no clean breaks in the love of sports, in that the heartland, you know, that Cleveland mentality. I don't know that there's ever such thing as a clean break, yet this was the cleanest possible break you could have between LeBron and the Cavs.
Nick Wilson is a host on our Cleveland affiliate, 92.3 The Fan, does evenings there from 7 to midnight Eastern. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Are fans still calling him one of us, one of our own, our guy? Because he didn't pull up roots to the point where, you know, he wants everyone to forget that he's from Akron, that he grew up in the area.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's still probably a little bit close for people to talk like that. But in another 2 months, I think they will. I think most people, the only thing, it's not as if they're disowning him. I feel like a good number of people in Cleveland right now just kind of want to talk about anything other than LeBron James.
Oh.
Not in a bad way,
right.
Not in like a spiteful way.
Sure.
But, and I'm now making us sound like we lost our puppy. But I just mean from the standpoint of it just happened. And, you know, they just took down the billboard that was up on the Sherwin-Williams billboard of LeBron James. And we spent all week talking about what's going to replace it. Like, give us like another week, and we'll say LeBron James's name with a smile again, I think.
Is it easier or harder than losing a puppy? I don't know. I kind of feel like what I've heard from some Cleveland fans, this might be something they take even harder than that.
Yeah, I don't know. How much did you like the puppy? Like, was he house trained?
I guess if he wasn't.
It's a puppy by puppy basis, I guess.
Nick, what now? The million-dollar question. What now?
Well, I think to most people it's pretty simple. If the Cavs try to make a go of it with Kevin Love and George Hill and the talent that they have here, I actually don't doubt that I don't want to say weaker East, but let's face it, LeBron James went out West. The guy commandeered a conference for 8 straight NBA Finals. I think it's fair to say it's now what was once weak is now somehow significantly weaker. I'm sure they could make the playoffs, but you know, with the way that this team is set up, they've got a first-round pick on the line this year. They don't really have – it's not like you're going to get free agents to you know, swarm here if you get the eighth seed this year. I think they need to learn from what Miami's learned, where Miami really tried to make a go of it after LeBron left, despite Dwayne Wade being a little bit older, you know, the health problems Chris Bosh went through. And they've had a few nice, playoff berths. But now they've got a bunch of bad contracts and really no superstar to speak of on that club and not really any closer to getting one. So as much as tanking is this kind of hotly contested thing, and I don't know that Dan Gilbert's ego will allow him to do it, but you got Kevin Love, highest bidder. You got Kyle Korver, highest bidder. Even guys like Rodney Hood, who's a restricted free agent, I think you got to race to the bottom because I think what we've seen is, you know, at the bottom, at the top, you know, as long as you have a plan, you're in a good spot. The death is in the middle there where you don't have superstars, but you're just good enough to get by and make a playoff spot.
Any indication that's actually what the front office is doing?
Well,
it seems pretty quiet.
Yeah, we've heard that they're doing the George Hill thing. We heard they're also shopping a few of their other contracts on the books, including somebody like Kyle Korver. But I still think so. A year ago, when David Griffin left, Kobe Altman, very inexperienced GM. I think right now Dan Gilbert. I think the organization's probably trying to convince Dan Gilbert that tanking is the right way. So. We haven't gotten the firm go-ahead that they're going any which way. But, you know, to me, just bringing it back the way it is, I don't know how you could do that, especially with Kevin Love. I would hope within the next 2 to 3 weeks we get a clear indication of Kevin Love's future. But, again, this is all resting on Dan Gilbert.
Well, that's even more depressing than losing LeBron, just kind of throwing the season out the window and saying, screw it. I guess there's no guarantee that you ever get back to this point, but that's interesting. Nick Wilson from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. I had a bunch of people write to me on social media on Sunday and Monday and say, well, good, now we can talk about the Cleveland Indians. So how much has anything else been a story in Cleveland in the last week?
Oh no, it's been a lot of Braun. I did get some Indians in tonight because they were off. I even, believe it or not, had a Browns opinion or
Woo!
Two. But for now, until Kevin Love is traded, or until the Indians make a big deadline splash or training camp, do not underestimate training camp in Cleveland. This still is a Browns town. Yeah, until one of those things happen, it's still going to be all Browns. All post-Braun.
I mean, it could be the longest eulogy in the history of professional sports.
Yeah, and you know what? The funny thing is, I'm not being the bitter ex-girlfriend who like just wants to talk about anything else but Braun. But I feel like there are certain people in Cleveland too. There is just this like, all right, man, let's do what we have to do for the Cavaliers. And, you know, we'll always have 2016. I actually wrote about that on our website. I hate to be the guy that says we'll always have 2016, but we will always have 2016. That'll be the best eulogy possible, I think.
That is true. No one can take that away. It was history, not to mention, as you talk about, more than a half century in the making, and it was exactly what LeBron returned to Cleveland for. So, yes, you will always have 2016, and so will we. That was incredible. You can find Nick on Twitter at NickWilson92.3, which is the frequency in Cleveland, hosting from 7 p. to 12 midnight Eastern time. It's good to talk to you, Nick. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Anytime, Amy. Thank you so much.
That's kind of depressing. If I'm a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, and I don't agree, not only because I don't think tanking is ever the right way to go. That to me just pulls your franchise apart. That's my opinion, because a front office can't dictate to a team that it should give up or try to lose. And then you have a disconnect. And so I hate that idea totally. It feels like you're throwing away games and talent and opportunities, but also because I don't think it's a hard and fast rule in sports that you have to suck and hit rock bottom before you can get better again. A rebuild project does not mean you have to sell out. You can actually rebuild and still be winning at the time, still be, having young guys make progress and grow up and learn. And a rebuild project does not have to be a number one overall draft pick. And I know that's what Cleveland is used to, but it doesn't need to be that way in the wake of LeBron's departure. I completely disagree with that, but I do appreciate that Nick has that opinion, and that's what he thinks is best for the Cavaliers. So what do you think about that? Should the Cavs throw in the towel in the next season and say, screw it, let's just amass a bunch of draft picks and get rid of all these guys and throw, 10-day contracts and summer league and rookies out there? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. And what's the biggest sports story right now that's outside of Cleveland? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
I wish we could do one of those shows, Where Are They Now? And invite back all of our most unique callers who we have either preserved in a rejoin, an immortality, or who have made it into the After Hours Hall of Flame. There have been some, and we could ask them where they are now, what they're doing. There are a lot of these callers, Anthony in Louisiana and Joe in East Baltimore. Where's Ellen? Is it Framingham, Mass that she lives in? Ellen? Gosh, some of our callers that have left their mark that I now wonder, where are they? What are they doing? I hope they're okay. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So I was driving home in my car on Thursday morning after work, and I don't listen to sports radio very often. It's a rule of mine because I need to form my own opinions. Once I have talked about a particular topic on the air and I feel like I'm comfortable in my opinions and I've fleshed out all the different angles and I can defend whatever it is that I feel or believe, then I'll tune into other sports radio shows, but only on my morning commute home, which is weird. Don't ask me why. I do it. Usually I'm looking for a chance to break away. And there are some shows where I'm exhausted afterwards. Maybe the subject material was heavy and it was just a difficult show for one reason or another that I don't listen to any talk radio at all. But generally on my way home in the morning, I'll listen to flip around to other options and see, what they're talking about and if there's a different angle that I hadn't thought of and la, 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 la. Well, or I'll listen to New York sports radio, which generally isn't on the same topics that I'm doing on my show. But I laugh sometimes because New York sports radio is a different, it's a different breed. Anyway, so I was driving home out of Manhattan on Thursday morning, and I was running a little bit late because I had stayed to record CBS Sports Minutes. When Boomer Esiason is out on vacation like he is all week and not doing his New York morning show, which is housed in the same building as us.
This is Boomer Esiason.
Hi, Boom. I hope you're enjoying your golf. I then do his CBS Sports Minutes. And so I was running a little bit late, and I get into my driveway at 7 a.m. Eastern time. I pull into my driveway at exactly 7 a.m. And wouldn't you know, they take a break from their local show at the top of the hour to run the CBS Sports Minute that I just recorded about 45 minutes before that. So that was a little bit funny. All of a sudden, it's my voice coming out of the speakers. I do a lot of air checking. I do go back and listen to some of the interviews that we record. I go back and listen to pretty much everything that we have on our YouTube channel because, you know, it's up there and I'm sharing it with people and I want to make sure that it's, you know, that's good quality. And also my interviews are the most important thing that I do. I think personally, I feel like they're the most important thing that I do on the show. And I pride myself on doing unique interviews and making them, you know, interesting and blah, 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 whatever. So I go back and I listen on our YouTube channel, but I don't often hear my CBS Sports Minutes. And I certainly don't hear them when I'm in my own car. And so that was funny. All of a sudden it's my voice blaring out of the speakers. And I don't know about you, but very often I think, I don't sound like me at all. Do you ever hear yourself on, I don't know, a voicemail? Or you hear yourself, you know, someone, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how you could. I guess a lot of people have YouTube channels. A lot of people have their own podcasts or they're on Snapchat. They do Snap videos, that kind of thing. And so you don't think you sound like you. And so that was kind of it. It was, I mean, I do sound like me. I am me. But it was a little bit jarring. What, wait, who's that girl? So, yeah, that was funny. I don't need to do that every morning, but it was interesting that I was in the car at the time when it was airing my CBS Sports Minute. And it was about, shoot, what was it about? I guess I wasn't paying really close attention. Oh, it was about snitching. That's what it was about. After we did our entire show on whistleblowing versus snitching, I did a CBS Sports Minute on the NFL offering reduced suspensions to guys who will out other people in their organization or around the NFL and how the incentives are definitely there when you're talking about the potential to lose your job and blah, 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 blah. So we did all of that on the show last night, so we don't need to revisit. But yeah, it was not only me doing a CBS Sports Minute, but it was me talking about snitching. Last night's show, the 4 hours that we did, probably more conversation and effort that I've spent on snitching in my entire life. So that makes twice this week that we've hit new heights. I've never watched so many GIFs as I have this week because we did an entire show on NBA GIFs and now talk about snitching. What I've learned, whistleblowing, noble, altruistic, protected, even worthy of reward. Snitching, stitching.
But still get you a fall guy.
Snitching. Like the rat that gets run over trying to run across a busy highway. Squish. And it's okay. It's justified. I can't wait to hear my mom's answer to that question. All right. Speaking of answers, what is your answer? What's your response to the question of the biggest story in sports right now? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Also on our Facebook page, look for the smiley face without the smile. He's frowning and he has a face palm going on. It's the face palm emoji. I love it because it is a face palm Friday. And we'll get to our first exhibit, Exhibit A for Face Palm Friday. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Our toll-free line here at CBS Sports Radio is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. And if you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too, you can get it all at geico.com. We'll do a little baseball, some diamond drama at the top of the hour. But if you want to weigh in on the biggest sports story, the biggest story in sports right now, you can do that on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Look for the Facepalm Friday emoji. It's one of my favorite elements that we do because it has its own special emoji and many very humorous GIFs that come along with. So that's why I love this. Plus, it's Friday, let's be honest. So any of those you want to weigh in, you can do that. Twitter, Facebook, on the phones, 855-212-4227. Neil is listening in Cleveland. Neil, welcome to After Hours.
Hi, how's it going, Amy?
Good.
Well, first of all, I want to say I'm guilty of this. You know, the decision the first time around, you know, is – it might have been his fault for how he set it up, But he was entitled to leave Cleveland. He didn't owe us anything.
Right.
And the fact that he came back, and the thing about LeBron James is, he always puts, he never takes the easy decision. You know, he always takes a gamble. You know, it was a gamble to go to Miami. You know, and coming back to Cleveland, it was a super gamble. All we had was Kyrie Irving. And he wins the title. You know, we see something that, you know, I saw for my first time at 36. My father saw for the first time since he was a child. You know, I'm not going to lie. When he left the first time, I hated his guts. I was that adamant fan. But I overlooked, you know, one thing that that we should all think, that LeBron James was born. His mother was 16. He had no father. He was given $90 million at 18 years old. He married his high school sweetheart. He has three kids that he's a great father to. He has no arrest. You know, we always knock athletes for all they do. LeBron James has done everything as a person that you could ask an athlete to do. And, you know, I apologize for the first time being mad at him. I mean, I salute him, and I'm going to root for him forever.
Well, good. I'm glad that you have that perspective, Neil. Certainly time changes a lot of things, and hindsight is 20/20 is a cliche for a reason.
Exactly.
I mean, I think that I think the fact that he did come back and that you now have the benefit of a championship and four consecutive NBA Finals appearances. When he left the first time, he was – you know, he was a younger guy. He was a young man that was pretty caught up in his own world and his own plans and his own future and didn't really think about the consequences. But he's a you know, much more experienced veteran with a lot of different wisdom now. And
go ahead. Even if we're born in California or Ohio or New York, when we're young, we want to go out and explore or think we can move on. LeBron James was a star at 14 in Akron and was drafted in Cleveland and had all the surrounding family and friends and rose above any kind of bad influences and was here and was forced to be here for 7 years. And then, you know, after making the decision, came back.
He was forced to? I don't think he was forced to, man.
When you're drafted, you know, he signed that first extension with us. I mean, okay. You know, when the Cavs drafted him at 18, he was stuck here.
Okay. Forced is a little bit strong. But I understand what you're saying. He didn't have any choice. But at the time, he was thrilled to be there. Let's not forget, because he's from the area.
Thrilled to a point, to a Cleveland point. I mean, if you're a megastar from 14 on, I mean, I don't think his number one choice would have been to be drafted by Cleveland, to be honest. I mean, I think that he embraced it, but I don't think that was his number one choice.
All right. Well, something we'll never know. It's just really speculation.
Right. Exactly.
But I'd agree with you. He had every right to go anywhere he wanted. And he went back to Cleveland and now has got different priorities. So that's fine. Neil, I appreciate your phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in.
Thank you, Amy.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for your tweets, for your Facebook messages. They're all over the place. There is one particular tweet that I got this week that is extremely jarring. I mean, it makes me want to avert my eyes. And that brings us to our first candidate for hashtag Facepalm Friday.
The facetious, flaky, and farcical.
We're morons.
Checking out the fallacious feedback of the week. It's time for Facepalm Friday.
I mentioned that I did a CBS Sports Minute on snitching, but I did a second CBS Sports Minute on Thursday morning, and it was essentially about Steph Curry and the Warriors being good for the NBA, being good for business. And it revolved around the fact that I had looked at multiple entertainment websites. Okay, so entertainment, TV, movies, not my department, but I do try to keep up with pop culture and drop stuff in every now and then. I can't claim that I'm cool, but you know, I like to know what the top stories are, unless it's the Kardashians, and I couldn't care less. Anyway, so I happen to look at multiple websites, entertainment websites, every night when I come to work, and yesterday, People.com as well as eOnline.com had as its top story, front page, listed as number one, the birth of Steph Curry and Ayesha Curry's son. He was born, I think, Sunday or Monday. He was a couple days early, but he's the first boy, and his name is Cannon. And there were amazing pictures that were posted of the two little girls as well as the boy. And it was not just news in sports. It was news all over the country when it came to entertainment, not just because Ayesha is now a cooking show star and has cooking books and all that. But did you know that Steph Curry has 12 million followers on Twitter? Curry has transcended his sport and is arguably the most recognizable athlete in the world right now. You could argue that there are other names for sure, but this guy is at the pinnacle. He's at the top. He is a champion now three times in the last 4 years, multiple MVPs, books being written about him. His endorsements are everywhere. He is, he's an obsession for corporate America and for fans. So when people tell me that they're tired of the Golden State Warriors, a lot of that's jealousy, of course. It happened with the Patriots too recently. You're the complete opposite of the marginal fans, because marginal fans, corporate America, can't get enough. And so my tagline on my CBS Sports Minute was, Adam Silver is giddy. And would you believe, in return for that CBS Sports Minute, Mike sent me a tweet of Adam Silver and his bald head and his glasses and his somewhat protruding ears. I'm just describing Adam Silver. He's an older gentleman. He's a little bit gangly. He's got no hair. He wears glasses, not goggles. Adam Silver is dressed in a Golden State uniform. It's very jarring. I can't get it out of my head. And he's smiling, that smile that he always seems to have on his face. And so, Mike, I don't know if I should name you the winner of hashtag Facebomb Friday or just this idea of Adam Silver aligning with the Warriors. That's not quite what I meant, but ew, just all around ew. That man should never be in any type of a basketball uniform.
Hashtag Facepalm Friday.
So I am going to ask Chris to tweet this from our show account and use the hashtag Facepalm Friday so that you can see it. So check out our show account at After Hours CBS. Again, it's jarring for many reasons. He doesn't belong in a basketball uniform, but just the look on his face as though he's prepared to run out there in the layup line and go hard to the hoop. Oh, gosh. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, our hashtag Facepalm Friday. And we're asking you a couple of things. What's the biggest story in sports right now? And also, after hearing what our guest from Cleveland had to say earlier this hour, that he believes that the Cavaliers should just divest themselves of any and all pieces that had anything to do with these last four seasons. Now that LeBron is gone, they should start completely fresh, go back to the beginning. And I couldn't disagree more. You do not need to tank or suck or hit rock bottom or try to lose. And that, again, speaking of the front office, not of an actual team, because I don't believe athletes go on the court and can do anything except for try to win. They may not be good enough, but you can't tell an athlete to suck on purpose. That's just goes against their nature. Anyway, I don't think that you have to hit rock bottom before you can bounce back up. I know that's what Cleveland is used to when it comes to the Cavaliers. It's this roller coaster ride of extremes. So either on top with the best player in the world and a number one draft pick like Kyrie Irving, and then it's nothing and it's bleak, and then it's back because LeBron is there, and it's certainly a pattern that has been established with the Cavaliers since LeBron was drafted, but it doesn't need to be that way. Now, Nick's opinion, Nick Wilson from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, his opinion was that no one is going to want to go to Cleveland now that LeBron is gone. But again, I disagree with that. I don't think they're that far away. Certainly, they've got older pieces. They need to make some moves. But this is the franchise that's the four-time defending champ in the East. And as much as it's easy to say it's all because of LeBron James, that's not the case. Come on. They don't win that title in 2016 without Kyrie, without Kevin Love, without Tristan Thompson, without J.R. Smith. I mean, it's a team sport. I get it. LeBron's amazing, but it's still a team sport. And so I don't think they have to crumple it all up and throw it out and say, okay, fresh slate. But I'd love to hear what you have to say. Mary Lynn says on Twitter, A-Law Radio, no, the Cavs should not tank and strip down the team. Didn't we learn from trading all the Browns veterans? I hate when anyone gives up. Let's see, another tweet. The fallout in Cleveland includes a seventh or eighth seed in the playoffs. The Knicks still suck. Have you heard the rumors, by the way, that Kyrie is really interested in playing with the New York Knicks? And potentially with Jimmy Butler. That seems like so something that the New York Knicks would do. They've been searching for a point guard for how many years? Since John Starks retired, have they been searching for a point guard? Oh my gosh, it's been a really long time that they've had a franchise point guard. But that's the latest rumor. And all I can think is, oh dear Lord, is that going to be the number one topic in the NBA? Kind of weaving its way through the entire next season, that Kyrie's not going to re-sign in Boston, but he's going to head to Broadway instead. Oh, heavens. All right, it's Face Palm Friday, After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.